Delicious meets nutritious in the snack that packs a real protein punch, Wonderful Pistachios. Each 1 ounce serving of Wonderful Pistachios has 6 grams of protein, giving you over 10% of your daily value and making Wonderful Pistachios one of the highest protein nuts. But perhaps more than that, I love all of the flavors they have. Their sea salt and vinegar ones are my favorite when I'm craving that flavor but want to keep it healthy. But that's just the tip of the iceberg. Wonderful Pistachios come in a variety of flavors, like chili roasted, honey roasted, smoky barbecue, and jalapeno lime, perfect for enjoying with family and friends or taking them with you on the go. Whether you're a pistachio purist who loves cracking open every nut, or you prefer the convenience of no-shells pistachios, Wonderful Pistachios has got you covered. Grab Wonderful Pistachios and elevate your snacking game today. So fill up with a healthy snack when hunger strikes. Visit WonderfulPistachios.com to learn more. That's WonderfulPistachios.com. Have you ever noticed how a calm mind can really set the stage for a good night's sleep? That's the idea behind our new podcast, Good Sleep. Greg, our host from Optimal Relationships Daily, is here to help ease you into a peaceful night's rest with some positive affirmations. And these affirmations aren't just comforting, they can help ease anxiety and nurture positive thoughts, setting you up for true good sleep. So, press play on Good Sleep tonight, because a good tomorrow starts with a good night's sleep. Just search for Good Sleep in your podcast app and be sure to pick the one from Optimal Living Daily. This is Optimal Health Daily, episode 2402. I went on a diet. Here's what happened. Part 1 by Sally Kazumchek of realmomnutrition.com. And I'm your host and narrator, Dr. Neil. Happy middle of the week Wednesday, and welcome to another edition of Optimal Health Daily, where I read some of the best blogs covering health and fitness, just like an audiobook, and always with a bit of my commentary at the end. And on Wednesdays, I like to give you a little bit of inspiration, because most Wednesdays, when it's not during a holiday, is the middle of the work week. And at that point, we might need that extra little bit of inspiration to get through the next couple of days. So, like I do every Wednesday, here's a little bit of inspiration. Quote, "A year from now, you will wish you had started today." Karen Lamb. All right, now today's post is a bit longer than what I typically narrate, so I'll read the first half today and then finish it up for you tomorrow. So with that, let's get right to part one as we optimize your life. I went on a diet. Here's what happened. Part one by Sally Kazumchek of realmomnutrition.com. All I could think about were the apples. A bowl of perfect apples was sitting on a table at my child's school, where I was volunteering, and I couldn't stop dreaming about biting into one, how crisp it would be, and how sweet it would taste. But it was a low-carb day, and I had already used up all my allotted grams. I was hungry and lightheaded, but I was also wearing the jeans I had tucked away on the top shelf of my closet, the ones I didn't think I'd ever fit into again, but couldn't bear to give away. I was in the goal jeans, and all I could think about was the apple I wasn't allowed to have. How I got there. 3 years ago, against my own better judgment, I went on a diet. It was partly for research purposes. Over the years, I nixed sugar, tried intermittent fasting, and gone gluten-free for short periods of time in the name of science, so I could have first-hand experience when writing or talking about it. And it was partly out of frustration with pounds that had crept onto my frame during my 40s. I was tired of buying new pants as shopping for clothes had grown increasingly unpleasant with each passing year. So I ignored the part of myself who'd sworn off diets in my 20s, and I tried something I hadn't before: macro counting and carb cycling. The plan involved documenting what I ate every day on an app, eating within a prescribed budget of protein, carb, and fat grams, and following a few low-carb days every week. The marketing around the plan promised it was a lifestyle that didn't feel like a diet, and seemingly thousands of happy dieters on Instagram agreed. Yet I still had a nagging sense of unease. In the past, tracking what I ate had never done more than concentrate my thoughts around food. P.S., I also love pasta. But maybe this time would be different. The honeymoon phase. I kind of can't believe how easy it's been, I said to a friend about 2 weeks into my plan. I'd been carefully logging what I ate in an app on my phone, mapping out meals that fit my daily protein, fat, carb targets from the lists of approved foods. It was working. I dropped several pounds, enough to get me back into an entire tier of abandoned pants in my closet. I later learned I was in what's dubbed by some weight loss researchers as the honeymoon phase of a diet. When motivation is high, weight is falling off, and things feel so easy you wonder why everyone isn't following this magical plan. But just as a marriage can't stay in the all-inclusive Cancun resort phase, your eating can't remain constrained into a tightly controlled formula without trouble and hunger. Fighting change. I see the declaration that diets don't work tossed around a lot, but that's not entirely true. Most diets, if followed as prescribed, actually can result in dropped weight. What often doesn't work is keeping it off. The pounds return. Feelings of failure wash over. The diet starts again, rinse, and repeat. Why is maintaining weight loss so hard? Most diets are designed to work quickly, so there's immediate success. Though truth be told, much of the initial loss, especially with low-carb diets, is water weight. But to work quickly, diets have to be restrictive, and restrictive diets are rarely sustainable in the long term. There's only so much deprivation we can handle before we become obsessed with wanting what we can't have. For most of us, that means we crack. We eat what we've been avoiding, and because we've lived with a scarcity mindset around that food, we eat more of it than we normally would. The body is also fighting change. After weight loss, your body makes a series of hormone adjustments to rev up your appetite and nudge you to eat more. So at the same time you're trying to eat less, you're actually hungrier than you were before, making everything feel that much more difficult. The honeymoon is over. About 4 weeks into my diet plan, things started to go south. As a type A personality, I was determined to follow the diet to the letter and see it through to the end. But I was increasingly fixated on what I could eat next and when. I particularly struggled on low-carb days, which allowed for no more than 50 grams of net carbs, the equivalent of about 2.5 apples. The meal suggestions the plan provided for low-carb day, which was 3 scrambled eggs covered with chopped avocado, made my stomach turn. Though I don't generally crave meat, I found myself standing in front of the open refrigerator, eating slices of deli ham simply to rack up protein grams. I grew tired of all the salmon I was making, and I was so sick of eggs. But I held firm. At a fancy brunch place with friends, I ordered eggs when I really wanted a waffle. I made pasta for my family and just ate salad, claiming I wasn't hungry. I didn't want my kids to know what I was doing. From years spent writing about feeding children, I knew it wasn't healthy to talk about dieting or to model restriction. From my meticulous tracking, I also knew I wasn't getting enough calories, clocking in under 1,000 on my low-carb days. My body had shifted into survival mode. To be continued. You just listened to part one of the post titled, I Went on a Diet, Here's What Happened, by Sally Kazumchek of realmomnutrition.com. We're driven by the search for better, but when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search. Match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging. 93% of employers agree Indeed delivers the highest quality matches compared to other job sites. One of the things I love about Indeed is that it filters out incompatible applicants. So when you're hiring, the process is much faster, and you only have to consider applicants that are already likely to be a great fit. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at indeed.com/health. Just go to indeed.com/health right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. indeed.com/health. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed. Dr. Neil here for my commentary. I really liked Sally's statement about dieting, specifically that diets do work. They just work in the short term. For most, staying on a restrictive diet is difficult for really longer than 6 months. Now, when we look at what makes some so successful with losing weight and keeping it off, researchers have discovered that it isn't about having more willpower or better genetics. Instead, it came down to a couple of things. One, the individuals found a nutritious pattern of eating that they could tolerate, dare I say, a nutritious eating pattern that they actually liked and suited their lifestyle. Sally in her post today said she was so sick of eating eggs. There were foods that she could no longer stand because she had to eat so much of them. But then on the other hand, there were foods that she craved so badly, she hyper-focused on them. Now, also, these individuals who are able to lose weight and keep it off make sure to plan their meals ahead of time to make sure they have the ingredients for these meals stocked in their home. All of these behaviors made it easier for them to stick to their plan over the long term, like for life. Next, they find time to stay active. It's a non-negotiable for them. All right, I better stop there before I start stepping on today's author's toes, because on tomorrow's post, we're going to hear how Sally found success. All right, that'll do it for today. Thank you so much for listening, and we'll finish up the rest of this post tomorrow, so I'll see you there where your optimal life awaits.